Welcome to the Los Angeles Online Film Critics Society presents Film Critics Weekly. We're talking Dora the Explorer, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, The Kitchen, and more. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies.
Welcome to Los Angeles Online Film Critics Society presents Film Critics Weekly. We have a great panel for you this week with three great women who are joining me. My name is Ashley Menzel. You can find me at We Live Entertainment and on Twitter at Ashley G. Menzel. And we'll have our panelists introduce themselves and tell you where you can find them.
Yeah, I'm Jana Nascimento Nagase, and you can find me in Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, my blog, Jana on Camera.
I'm Kit Bowen, and you can follow me on Twitter at TheMovieKit and also on ScreenPicks.com.
I'm Lupe Haas. You can follow me on Twitter at Cinemovie. My website is Cinemovie.tv, or you can follow me on Instagram and Facebook.
Yay! So, we have a lot to talk about this week. We have so many movies. I guess we're going to take a start with Dora and the Lost City of Gold, which is something that I didn't have the chance to see, but you guys have. So if you guys, anybody want to give a description of the story?
All right. So Dora is a teenager now, and her parents send her away, unfortunately, to the city because they're off to their next adventure. And there we meet Diego, who's you might not recognize from the show. He's, you know, he's a little jaded now. Of course, he lives in Los Angeles. Eventually they go back to the jungle along with some new friends, and they're out to find their parents who are in danger. So it's up to Dora.
Dora's parents, yep.
Yes.
Yeah. Awesome. So it's directed by James Bobbin, and it stars Isabel Moner as Dora. So you guys want to talk about it?
I loved it. You know, I do have a daughter. She's 20, but she was just a little too old for Dora. But I think that this just kind of captured the 8-year-old in me, because if I was 8 years old or 9 years old, I would have just ate this movie up. It's like Indiana Jones meets, you know, wholesome, fun entertainment, very adventurous. Isabella Monier, is that how you say?
Monier.
She is the cutest thing on the planet. Yeah. She completely carries the film. They pay homage to the show. There's no question about it. But they do it in a very funny way, clever, sort of irreverent ways. Like the very beginning where she goes, "Can you say delicioso?" Like that to the camera, and then her parents are like,
she's doing it again.
Anyway, it was just a whole lot of fun for me. And I'm going to probably mispronounce the famous Mexican star.
Eugenio Derbez.
Yes,
He was also in Overboard, right?
Yes, he was in Overboard.
Huge star in Mexico, right? Just like, you know, like top of the line star. But he's so funny in this. There were some parts to it that I was like literally doubled over laughing. And all the kids in the audience that I was watching it with were just eating it up. So yeah, I really enjoyed this movie. I feel like it's something we need right now.
Oh yeah, I agree with kids. It's kind of like an old-fashioned treasure hunt, you know? And it was so innocent. And it was nice to put her in the city. Because I thought, I'm like, oh, no, they're going to put her in the city. They're going to corrupt her. But it was a nice contrast because she's this positive, you know, person among these jaded, self-absorbed teens. And so it was nice to see that dichotomy. And the fact how she plays it. Instead of playing the victim, she just turns it around on Diego, who tells her, you know, can't you just be normal?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh. And that hurt her. She knew that her peers were thinking that of her. But once her cousin set in, she was heartbroken. So no. Like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
So,
she was very genuine. I think it was, like, very unique. And then I love the way that she did everything, like, the way that she talked. And then my son, on the first scene, he's 8, and he replied to her, delicioso. I was like, okay. But it was cute. Like, I think everything was cute. Eugenio was really good. I think he was a really good villain. I love it. Michael Pena as well, and Eva Longoria as the parents and everything. I think it's like I had so much fun watching and like you said, it was like an homage, a tribute to the TV series.
Mm-hmm. Great. So we're going to give each movie we talk about today a grade from A to F. So, Lupe, what would you give Dora?
I give it an A. And remember, it's for families. So people, older people who go see this movie, right. You don't
it's
let me.
It's not for you.
It's not for you. Okay. It's for families.
Well, you know what? It is in a way because, you know, like I said, I was totally into it. It's a good story. It goes all the way through. You know, like she says, Dora goes to the city, but then, of course, she has to come back to the jungle to find her parents. Mm-hmm. And then she takes some of her newfound friends from Los Angeles who know nothing about the jungle. They come in with her on this adventure. So it becomes very much of an adventure. And, like, you know, it was, you know, there was a lot of beauty to it, you know, and then, like, fantastical scenes, and they're coming upon an ancient, you know, city, all of that stuff. So that whole Indiana Jones feel to it. Mm-hmm. I just love it. It reminded me of those Disney live-action movies that I used to love so much, yeah. Like Swiss Family Robinson.
Before I gave my grade...
I'm going to give it an A as well.
Okay, that's good. Before I give it, I have a little issue with the CGI. There was the only thing that I didn't like it, that I fully love it. I loved the movie. But that was the only thing that I was like, I was a little bothered.
Maybe that's why they give that a minimum. Boots and
boots
swiping.
And swiping. It's all right. I got into it, you know. It's okay. Yeah, it didn't bother me.
I had a little problem, but everybody should check it out. Everybody, families, if you're single, if you're not, if you have kids or not, you should check it out.
And there's a map, and there's a backpack.
Yes.
I'm a map! Anyway, I kept saying that. As you're sitting next to your husband, I'm going, I'm a map! He's going, shut up!
So what would your grade be?
A.
An A. Okay, so Dora gets an A from everybody on the panel.
And you should check it out.
And I will check it out.
Can I say one more thing?
Oh, yeah,
it's
sure.
Very important for not only for the Latino community, but for Hollywood. Because if it fails, they're going to say... What they usually say with a female-led movie, oh, you know, people just don't want to go see a movie with female, you know, leads. Mm-hmm. So I'm really hoping this movie really works so that more movies are made because I've never uttered so many Spanish surnames in my life. Yes. We're talking about a mainstream film. So yes. It was really, really, really nice to see.
Yeah. Awesome. So everybody make sure you check out Dora this weekend. The next one we're going to transition over to is Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, which is based on the stories by Alvin Schwartz, I think it was. He did three books, and it's directed by Andre.
It's a Norwegian.
Norwegian, Overdahl.
Just the main part is produced by Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah, and what we love is Guillermo del Toro. So it's produced by him. We have writers with Dan Hageman and Paul Hageman, I think the other one, along with Guillermo. So. Kit, you want to give a description of the story?
Sure. It takes place in the 60s, and it's a small town, and a group of high schoolers, it's a Halloween night, they go to this resident haunted house where apparently this woman was locked away, and she apparently killed kids by telling them stories and all this kind of stuff, and, you know, they're, like, trying to scare each other, but one of the one girl in the group, she takes this book of stories that this woman has written, Sarah, and she takes it out of the house, and then suddenly stories start happening and writing themselves, and whatever happens in the story, the person that they're writing about dies, or has something bad happen to them, so it's kind of trying to stop her from telling the stories. Yeah. Telling the stories! So
this
Why don't
cast...
you start?
Okay.
She didn't like it that much.
Call me out. Just call me out. So I have very strong feelings about child actors. They either make or break a film. And I think that was the problem for me with Scary Stories, is I think the actors in it were so unseasoned that they didn't sell the story enough. There were actually lines where Scott and I looked at each other and just laughed, like, without even, like, you know, prompting each other. We just went, like, oh my god, like, are they serious right now? And it's a shame because I know they probably give their best. It's really cool visually, in my opinion. I love the books. I read them as a child. They still scare me to this day. But I think the best elements of it were those ones where you can see Guillermo del Toro's touches on it. I kind of would have rather seen the film either go the path of, like, the house with a clock in its walls and be definitely for kids, or just go into the PG-13/R and just get like the hard horror out of it. I think it's tried to straddle it too much to make it really effective. What do you think, Jonna?
I didn't like it at all. The only thing that in this one I can say is the CGI. The monsters are fantastic on the other hand. But the performances are not good. I didn't like it. I agree with you. And sometimes I felt kind of a lost. And I couldn't believe it that Guillermo was like on it. Sometimes I forgot about, oh, but Guillermo was on it. Should be better. Unfortunately, for me, it's a no.
Well, I really enjoyed it.
we're on the same side over here.
Boo, that side.
So I kind of knew already that Ashley didn't like it so much. So I kind of went into it with a little trepidation, like, oh, maybe this is going to suck. I was totally drawn into it. I've seen worse acting by kids in a horror movie. So, I mean, that really didn't bother me at all. I thought the monsters were creepy as get out. Right? I was just, anticipating that next story, what was going to happen, what was going to pop out, and all of the gross, or just the really creepy looking, scary things that happened to these kids. And, they're running around. The story was linear. It was, trying to, like a good ghost story, trying to figure out why this ghost was doing what she's doing. And so I was following it completely. And I saw Guillermo's touches through the whole thing, like you said. And I thought it was foreboding. But I do kind of agree with you, Ashley, on it trying to sort of scale, try to find its footing. Was it, YA, young kind of a film, or was it going to be horror? And maybe it had a little trouble finding its spot, but I think it falls more on the YA, side of things, so it's not gory. It's not quite as scary like The Conjuring or something like that, but I was enjoying myself. I walked out of there thinking, yeah, that kind of was creepy.
So, to your point with the child actors, though, or the younger actors, you can have a movie like It, for example, where it's all child actors throughout the movie, and then that one is so much more effective, I think, because of the harder rating on it.
Sure, sure.
Whereas these kids are so shoehorned into, fitting into the certain rating that they couldn't really work with the material.
I think with It, though, it's a different situation because, I mean, that story is told from a child's perspective. The first half of the book is from these kids' perspective. So you really have to have strong character. You have to have strong actors to tell that story. Yeah. This one you didn't. It's all about the creepiness. It's all about the scary stories. It didn't have any sort of... I mean, there was some emotional weight with the girl. I thought she did a good job with all that, her mother leaving and all that kind of stuff. But, I felt like that wasn't the crux of this movie. The crux was just sort of these each individual stories and trying to figure out the mystery.
I think that's
it.
Interesting because I think that's where Jana and I are more focusing on the actors, and I think that's why the movie didn't work. And we couldn't get past it. Whereas you guys are just let me see the story. So that's interesting.
What'd you think?
I'll agree. I mean, the performance did not bother me. I really liked the performance by Michael Garza. He plays Ramon.
Yes.
And it was nice to see again another Latino.
He was the best out of all of them.
I thought the girl was good. Yeah, whatever.
The girl. I liked the girl too.
Her name was Zoe Margaret Coletti.
Yeah, I didn't mind her. She's wearing glasses.
Stella.
So. I'll agree there was on-the-nose dialogue, which you're like, really? But okay, it's a horror movie and kids. So, I mean, I liked it. I thought the scares were really good. Usually in horror movies, you have one monster, and here you had several.
Yeah.
And you didn't know what shape or form it was going to take, and it was based on the kid's fear.
Right, yeah.
So I thought that was really, really good. Yeah. So each point of each scare was different.
Right.
So that's what I really liked.
I did like that aspect,
too. Because Llorona was annoying, because it was the same jump scare every single time.
Yeah.
And it annoyed the hell out of me.
So what was your favorite monster in the movie then?
Favorite shifting monster.
The jangle man.
Oh my god. That was like
What was it called?
The jangly man.
Mito Doty Walker is the name of the story.
But he says it's the jangly man. It's the story that used to scare me to death or whatever. The cop's like, oh, you've got to be kidding me.
that was a good line though. I was like,
That's taken directly from John Carpenter's The Thing. You remember The Thing comes out and he's like walking around and he goes, oh, you've got to be fucking kidding me.
Yeah, and I think it was a throwback to movies, too. Yeah. I got a little bit of Halloween vibe in the beginning, mm-hmm. and I interviewed Guillermo del Toro yesterday, and I asked him about that, and he said no. I was like, oh, okay, well, it's very similar. You have the town, and you have the radio voice,
you know,
narrating. Yeah. So I was like, he's like, oh, I didn't think about that. I'm like, oh, sorry. But
it's like, you made it up then.
Yeah, but I agree. Didn't know what it was. At times, I was surprised when I heard at the press day yesterday. I was like, oh, is this for kids? And I'm like,
Oh, yeah, I don't think okay. it's for young.
I would not.
No, PG. It was PG-13. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, 16 plus.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was PG.
No, it's PG-13.
Oh, well, then it needs to be R.
Because there were some moments. I mean, I looked away a couple
times. A couple times.
There's
I
a point
this.
Where somebody's eating the body part and they don't know it.
Oh,
you're like, the toe!
No.
And what I liked about this movie was the suspense was prolonged and it was a little annoying.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, oh, I'm glad they did that. Because at the end, you appreciated it. Because it was longer. You expected it at that beat. You know, you didn't get the scare, and oh, it kept prolonging, and I'm like, oh, come on!
Yeah,
you
know? Just forget to me.
So I like that.
Okay.
That
it's kind of reminded me of the last Annabelle movie. Because again, well, not in the
creation
way.
Or comes home.
Comes home.
Okay. Oh.
Just the idea. What I really loved about the movie was just all those things in that room. What did they do?
Oh yeah.
Right.
Oh my God. Yes.
So I remember thinking that even back when they first introduced that room, I'm like, oh God, what does that do? Oh my God, what does that do? You know. And then in that movie, you got to see it all like this. Mm-hmm. So this is the same kind of a feel, which you know, the different story, you get the different monsters. So, sorry guys, we liked it.
That's all right.
So and by the way, it has an 80-something percent on Rotten Tomatoes. So I'm just going to put that.
By the way, I haven't reviewed it yet. So that's going down.
It'll be at 70 tomorrow.
And you can all blame me. So let's give our rating on it. Lupe, what would you give
it? Okay, I mean, it was enjoyable. I didn't love it, but I did enjoy it. So I'll give it a B.
Yeah, me too. B.
I'm going with a C. Minus.
Oh,
yeah.
Throwing the minus in there.
I'm straddling C-/D+.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
So it's not. It was so underwhelming for me, and I was. It was
but you're
my,
also you're a fan of the books, right?
Yeah.
So
yes.
Tell me,
huge
is it?
Fan.
Is it? Does it? So the books, they're just those individual stories,
right.
And that kind
right.
of like a Stephen King anthology kind of thing, right?
Kind of, yeah. It's like just basically three books of all these different stories that don't really tie together. So,
okay.
I mean, in a sense, it was probably difficult to put them all in one movie.
Yeah. Right.
But...
Did you... And you didn't like how they kind of...
It was good how the story... I like how the story was written. I like how they put it together. I don't like the actors. That was my whole thing. I said I would have liked it if the actors were stronger.
Okay.
So,
interesting.
It is what
didn't
it is.
It
all right. Okay.
All right. So we're going to move on to The Kitchen, which is a 1970s New York gangster
mob
drama featuring Melissa McCarthy, Tiffany Haddish, and Elizabeth Moss. So, Jenna, you want to give us a description?
Like,
mobsters, women,
killing. Yes, they their husbands go to do like a robbery, and then they be a part of the Ireland mafia, and then they get caught, and then they go to jail, and the mafia is gonna help them to survive, and then in the end they're not gonna
they don't.
Help them get help, so they need to do something to get money and everything else, and then that goes.
So Widows Part 2.
Kind of.
I mean, it sounds similar.
But
yeah,
but that
similar.
Is in the 70s, and
Irish
this
mob.
One is in the 70s.
Yeah.
Widows, it was a little bit more like
Hell's
now.
Kitchen is what.
Hell's Kitchen's Irish mob, New York City. So...
We didn't see it.
So it's me and Jonna.
Yeah.
It's written and directed by Andrea Barloff. And like I said, it's Melissa McCarthy. There's also one of my favorite actors, Domhnall Gleeson's in it.
Uh-huh. And is he a husband?
Okay, so he's kind of like a shady figure that comes in. I don't want to ruin anything, but he kind of comes in towards the middle.
Okay.
But the greatest disservice this movie does is it's an Irish mafia movie. Domhnall Gleeson's Irish, so they have him talk with a New York accent. I'm like... Why?
Yeah.
Why? I was so mad. I just love Domhnall Gleeson. But this movie was really difficult for me because there were parts of it that I thought were really good, and then there were parts of it that just were, like, mind-bogglingly terrible. So it was like, I was halfway through it, and I'm like, maybe. And then it takes a turn, and it becomes, like, even more violent, and you're like, what is going on? And then at the end, you're like, what just happened?
Yeah.
So it's... All in all, I don't really think it worked for me. I liked Melissa McCarthy's performance, and I liked Elizabeth Moss in it. And Domhnall Gleeson, of course. Tiffany Haddish was a little weird for me in this movie. I wasn't quite sure what to make of her performance.
When I left the screening yesterday, I was like, okay, I watched it last night. I had mixed feelings. I didn't like it, but I didn't hate it. Mm-hmm. I didn't love it. I was like,
it exists.
I don't know. Something like that. Bother me. What bothers me was Melissa McCarthy.
Melissa McCarthy, really?
Yeah, I was like, I look at her like, okay, it's okay. Elizabeth Moss is great.
Yeah.
And they have a lot of action, and then sometimes I got lost. And then I was like, I don't know. It's kind of a weird. Tiffany's is okay. I thought that it was okay, but
yeah, it's,
I don't know.
I saw the trailer, and I was all down for it. I mean, I thought that casting was almost, you know, like a dream team kind of thing with the three of them, and I was really drawn in by that trailer.
But that's sometimes the problem. When they put all these good actors together, and sometimes it
doesn't
come
gel.
Out good.
Yeah. Well, if the story's not good, then, you know, it doesn't matter how good the performance, you know, how good the actors are if they can't make the story work.
Yeah. Well, that's what reminds me of Widows, because a lot of great actors and actresses, and then it was a bore fest.
Yeah.
Well, I liked Widows, but I get it. I mean, it did slog a little bit. Does this slog? Is it
a little bit, yeah. I was just going to ask you, don't you think it feels long at times?
Yes.
It feels
long.
Like it could get like a 30-minute cut to it, actually.
Let's edit this.
Yeah.
Women ever get like their... This is we're badass women now and we're gonna take over moments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it does.
It happens pretty quickly in the movie.
Yeah.
And can you suspend belief because you're figuring, okay, these women are gonna go up against the mob?
No, that's
really?
The thing is they're really believable in their roles,
they're
in
real.
My opinion.
Like,
they're real women. But it's just something feels off for
I think lack of directing, sometimes they script a little
wonky.
Something,
Yeah.
Okay,
so
that's too bad.
Yeah,
I might eventually see
you can check it out. I mean, some people might have other, obviously people have varying opinions, but if you're interested in it, check it out. Jana, what would you give it?
I'll give it a C.
I think so too.
I'm
still
like
gonna say
I'm really bad today.
All right. So we're gonna talk about next, The Art of Racing in the Rain. So Lupe, you saw that?
I did not see
that. Oh,
yeah, me neither.
I saw this. Okay, so I'll give this a real. You saw this?
I did not.
Okay, it's me. It's
you.
The me time. Okay, so The Art of Racing in the Rain. I'm gonna give you a real quick thing because I don't want to talk about it because it makes me really sad. Okay, Art of Racing in the Rain is based off a book. And it stars Milo Ventimiglia as Denny and Amanda Seyfried as Eve, his wife. Some drama stuff happens, but at the beginning of the movie, we start out with Milo adopting a dog named Enzo, who's played by Kevin Costner, who's voiced by Kevin Costner. And so it's a dog movie, so we all know those go well.
Yeah.
That's really...
Do they?
Yeah, they go really well. So I cried for about an hour and a half out of the 2-hour runtime.
That's why I don't watch those movies.
No, it's extremely emotional. If you're a dog person and you cry at dog stuff, you're going to sob. It's really emotional. Great performances by everybody involved. If you want to be traumatized emotionally, feel free and see it. I would give it an A, but... Be warned, you need tissues.
Okay, you're going to have to talk a little bit more about this. I'm sorry, Ashley. You're going to have to talk a little more. It's based on a book.
It is based on a book.
Okay.
So
he's
race car driver, and he is, Milo is Denny Swift, a race car driver who is attempting to break into the circuit so he can race Formula One. He adopts the dog. They're all buddy-buddy. He comes to the races with them. The dog kind of talks about how he wants to be a man in his next life, and he wants to learn to race, and he talks about how much he loves being at the racetrack with Denny. And then Amanda's character comes in and kind of disrupts everything, and then life continues as it does after people get married and things change and circumstances change, and Enzo's kind of there for everything.
It's like Marley and Me.
With racing cars. So.
Same producer.
Can we talk about how many of these movies there are? I mean,
yeah. There's so many.
What is it about dog movies this year? There's been a lot. What do you think it is about dog movies that makes, just because they're dog movies, but what?
I think it has...
Because I'm a cat person.
Well, I was just going to say...
It's a cat movie, darn it.
I think it has a wide appeal. I think, you know, in a time where everything's so divisive in this country with politics and everything else that's going on, most people love dogs. So it's a safe bet to be like, here's a movie about something everybody loves, yeah. and then let's make you really sad.
But then let's cry.
The sad part, I don't want to. That's why I liked Dora, because Dora is like happy. One of these things. It's just positivity. Yeah. Like, you don't have to cry. You just can laugh. You can... But I saw the trailer for this. I went, nope.
Yeah.
Nope. I was going to say,
I saw the trailer, and I was like, oh, that's really sad. Really sad. And then my brother watched with me, and then there is a pilot that was in from F1, and he was the one racing in the rain. He was really good. And then my brother said, well, this is the Ayrton Senna story. I was like, yeah, I don't know, maybe. We should check it out.
Yeah, Scott kind of tricked me into this screening. I didn't know what we were seeing that night. Ooh. And he was like, oh, we're going to see, you know, we're going to Art of Racing in the Rain when we were on the way there. I was like, I don't know what that's about. Like, I hadn't seen the trailer or anything. And then I was like, I hate you so much.
That was really...
Yeah, we got out of it, and I literally said, like, through tears and sobbing, I'm like, don't ever ask me to see a dog movie. I'm done. Don't do it. I'm done. And I was, like, still sobbing as I was walking to the car, so...
And then you went home and hugged your dogs.
Yeah, and then I was like, I love you guys so much. And they're looking at me like, what is wrong
Milo?
With you?
Is that how you say it?
Milo Ventimiglia.
What is it about him, too? This is us. This
That's
one.
What I said. What? On,
is
yeah,
he, like,
yeah.
the king of pain or something?
Yeah, I said he's quickly overcoming the scene from The Lion King with Mufasa dying. It's, like, the most traumatic thing for my life is him and everything he does.
Yeah. Hey, guys, this is Ryan in the booth real quick. I just wanted to say, I haven't seen the movie, but I know that sometimes dog stuff can, like, kind of trigger people.
Yeah.
There is a really useful website called Does the Dog Die?
Yep.
That, I mean, maybe I don't know what happens in this movie, but I would just check that out. If that's the type of thing that triggers you, you don't want to risk going to it, maybe check that website out.
Yeah.
Cool. Good point. Good. Thanks, Brian.
DoesTheDogDie.com. Yes, I've checked that website multiple times. Cool. So, Art of Racing in the Rain would get an A. Kit got me to talk more about it. So, we're also going to talk about After the Wedding. Who has seen it?
I saw it.
I think this is you, babe.
We're awesome, okay?
Yeah, we're good.
Oh, you saw it too?
Yeah. I saw it. It'll be interesting for us to talk about it because I actually saw it when it premiered at Sundance. And I've heard since Sundance they did another cut of it. So we'll see.
Oh, really?
Because when we saw it, it was kind of this weirdly woven story that had Julianne Moore and...
Michelle Williams
and... oh my gosh, I forget
Who's
the girl's
the guy?
Name.
The husband.
Billy Crudup. And then... Crudup. So Billy Crudup and Julianne Moore are married. They're very successful. They live a happy life. And they have a daughter named Grace, who's played by Abby Quinn. And this woman gets invited to Julianne's house by Julianne, to kind of get funding for
an
orphanage.
She's an activist. That's right.
She runs an orphanage. Right. So Michelle Williams.
In India or something.
Yeah,
like
in India. So she comes over and is trying to get the money from Julianne Moore, and you find out that maybe their lives are more interwoven than you thought they were.
Well, the trailer kind of gives it away, so don't worry about it.
I haven't watched the trailer, so...
it gives it away that she had a life. So it looks like she had a relationship with Billy Crudup.
Yeah, okay. It goes on from there, and there's all this drama that comes up, and you really can't talk about the rest of the plot because it ruins the rest of the movie.
It ruins everything.
But what I saw in Sundance was not great. It was really slow, really boring, very
still,
just so uninteresting. Like, I was ready to leave halfway through it because it just went nowhere, which is a really, you know, it's a shame because there's really good actors in it.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I don't know what happened.
Boring. It's still boring. They're great. I was like, oh my god, Julianne Moore and then Michelle together.
And their emotional scenes are good.
They're good, but the movie drags and then I was like,
doesn't
no,
sound like much
need...
happens because
no.
if she
no.
comes they have this big sort of confrontation or they well, it sounds looks like you know peeling off layers kind of thing, right?
And it's very heavy, like it's
heavy.
Not there's no levity to the story really, and
nothing.
It's just kind of like
zero.
And I feel like at the beginning of the movie it doesn't ever like the beginning of the movie is never really ever resolved at the end, so you're kind of like, what the hell happened there?
Who directed it?
Her husband, right?
Bart Freundlich.
What else has he done?
I can't think right now. But he's like,
maybe Ryan can check for us. Who else did?
I'll look. I'm looking.
Brad.
What other movies did Bart do? Magic Box.
So I mean, you know, like was Michelle? Well, I mean, was there someone who stood out more between any of the characters?
Mm. I mean, Julianne Moore, but she's done good. So many other, you know, stories and characters that are so much more compelling.
This one is just like she's emotional.
Yeah. Yeah, she's emotional, and yeah, the scenes that are really emotional.
And then
are
in the beginning of the movie, that she dances on the car. I don't know if you watch it, Gloria Bell. She was like replicating some of the scenes, like, because she likes to sing, drive and sing, just like Gloria Bell.
The
Myth of Fingerprints was one of his ones that he did. He's done some TV too, so
Nothing super, you know, great. I don't really think you need to see it. What would you give it for a grade?
Give a C minus.
We're bad today.
We're really bad.
I would probably say that critics. Too. C minus.
I spoke to them, like, and then I spoke to Julian and Brad, and then it's like you see that they are very proud of the project because their daughter also worked on the project on the movie. They have the friend there. They invited to be the other actor that was on the movie, and then for them they are very proud of the project, but. I almost told them,
sorry. This thing you love and they're so proud of is not good.
And they're so excited and you're like, oh.
I was excited, but I tried to.
No, I mean, that's what I mean. Like, you see that how excited they are and you're in front of them and you're like, oh, did you like it? Yeah.
Here's the thing about being a film journalist, because sometimes we don't like the movies and we have to talk to the people. And yes, sometimes we have to put on a brave face. Some people don't, though. Like your husband sometimes says, I didn't really like this movie. But I mean, he says it in a nicer way than that. But, and it's interesting because I recently watched an interview with Emma Thompson and she mentioned how, sometimes you guys have to come in here and actually be, act as well. But I try to find at least one thing about the movie that I like. Yeah. And it's usually at least I can find one thing, right?
Yeah. A secret the actress that played the daughter.
Abby Quinn,
really she's good. Yeah. She's good. Even Michelle, if you isolate her, she's good. Like on the movie, but the whole story, I don't know, it's weird. And it's like a remake of a movie that was made years ago with the same movie. But there is a twist there that is a little bit different from the first one one.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah. C minus. So Jenna is the only one who saw Brian Banks.
Yeah.
So you can talk about it a little bit?
Well, how about Peanut? Got it.
Yeah. Brian Banks is a story about Brian Banks. It's an untold true story about him. He was wrongly convicted for a crime that he didn't do it. And he lost like 11 years of his life. And the movies talk about the way that they try to solve his problem, the way that he trying to get to the person that accused him to say he didn't do it. And what was good, it was like I was very impressed with his performance, Aldis Hodge. And the lawyer on the case is Greg Kinnear. He always does this type of movies, and I think he's so likable. I like him on screen, so I had fun. It's very there was a moment that I got really angry with the character, not the main character, but the other character, the girl. They accused him, and you see that he's a good person, but he was like only convicted. And also on the Sherry Shepherd, she's also on the movie, and she plays the mom.
Gotcha.
Cool.
It's good.
So what grade would you give it?
A B minus.
Okay.
Is that in movie theaters or?
Yeah, it's gonna premiere tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And the last movie that we're going to talk about is actually our movie pick of the week, and that's The Peanut Butter Falcon.
Yay!
Who doesn't like peanut butter?
Yay! So, The Peanut Butter Falcon had its premiere at South by Southwest. It was directed by Tyler Nielsen and Michael Schwartz, also written by those two guys, starring Shia LaBeouf as Tyler, Dakota Johnson as Eleanor, and Zach Gottsagen as Zach.
So you want me to tell the story?
Yeah, go ahead. Tell us what it's about.
Well, Zach is an individual with Down syndrome, and he's been living in an old a retirement home because his family abandoned him, and this was the place that they ended up putting him. And you know, he's very well liked, and he rooms with Bruce Dern. But he wants to live his life. He wants to be free, and he feels like he shouldn't be in this spot, in this place. And Dakota Johnson plays his caseworker, or who works at the retirement home, and she's sympathetic, but at the same time, you know, he's in the system and he has to be where he is. But he manages to escape. And I think it's what, North Carolina, I think they start out in, and they end up going down the river.
Yeah, going down to Florida.
And he ends up meeting Shia LaBeouf's character, Tyler, who's sort of going through some emotional trauma himself, and he's, you know, he's in trouble with some of the locals there, and so then they're kind of on the run. And they go down the river in this homemade raft, and they end up Dakota ends up finding them. Eleanor finds them and goes with them for a little bit of time. But it's really the bond between these two young men. And I don't know. I was completely engrossed in this, and I just thought the performances were amazing. Shia LaBeouf is, you know, I know he's kind of a weird guy personally, and he's done some really crazy stuff, and there's a lot of crazy stories about him, but he's a good actor.
Hands down,
he's the best performance.
Great actor.
Yeah. Well,
and you really feel from him in this. And then, of course, Zach is just, I can't say his last name.
Gottsagen.
He's just very endearing, and, you know, genuine, clearly. Yeah. But it's really this very genuine relationship between these two individuals, mm-hmm. with Dakota, who again, everyone gives her a bad rap for being in the 50 Shades movie, but I've always kind of liked her. I don't know. I mean, she's not the greatest of actresses, but there's some stuff that she's done that I really like. Bad Times at El Royale, I thought she was really good in that.
She was good in that one.
And I really liked her in this. She was very, you know, underrated. She was, I mean, really? underscored, you know. I mean, she didn't really overplay it. And she gets involved in this sort of, you know, quest for this guy. Because basically Zach wants to be a wrestler, and he's been obsessed with this wrestler guy, this old video he's watched about 1,000 times.
The Saltwater Redneck.
Yeah.
That's a great name.
And that's kind of their journey. That's their quest to get to this guy who plays, you know, who's played by...
Thomas Hayden Church.
Thank you. Thomas Hayden Church.
Yeah.
I really loved this movie.
The interesting thing about this movie in particular is Honey Boy is starting to play at TIFF this year, which it played at Sundance last year. And it's interesting because this story and this film relies a lot on the character's relationship with Shia and Zach. And you can say the same thing about Honey Boy. It relies on the relationship between Shia and Noah Jupe's character. So once you guys see that, I'll be really interested, because I think that's where his niche is finding these relationship-type movies where he has to really have an authentic relationship with the character. I loved it. I agree with everything Kit said. I think it was sweet, and Shia was great, and the relationship is really what is the heart of the film, and it's just... definitely a movie you should check out.
Oh, for sure.
No, I agree. The only actress I didn't care about, Dakota, on the movie. Mm-hmm. I just think like that she was
like,
She was okay. No, she was okay, I think. I don't know.
I think she woke up in the third act. Because in the third act, we saw a little more emotion. Well, I don't know.
She's trying to find him. And,
no.
Yeah, anyway, okay.
No,
how about you, Lupe?
But
then I think Zach and Shia, they're like great, and also like the cinematography. I like the way that they pull.
It's beautiful.
Like, it's beautiful, and then everything is the way that they try to connect. And Zach is like, no, I need to. I'm following him. Like, it's great.
Yeah, and there's certain scenes I think that shine really, like the scene with the swimming.
Yeah,
it's like there's just like certain scenes that are really powerful. So I loved it. But Lupe.
Yeah, I loved it too, that relationship. And people are complaining there's not enough original films. This one is really, really original. And the fact that you see an actor with Down syndrome is really, really special, I think, for the community out there to see. And I don't think anybody's really had this kind of, Rain Man, but, you know, Dustin Hoffman is...
That's autistic. But that's a different...
Autistic.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's not... It's not an actor, you know?
Yeah.
But I love the relationship and the fact that Tyler is treating this boy like just another human.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he has to explain to Eleanor, like, don't treat him like a child, like he's sick. You know, treat him like a human being, like you would treat anybody else. And that's what I really, really loved about the film, that he's treating them just like any other kid, who kind of, you know, grew on him, because initially he's like, all right, kid, just be quiet and just follow me, because mm-hmm. they're taking this adventure together to go to basically the same location. So I really enjoyed that, and it was just heartwarming. And usually I'm out the door in the screening, but I sat there going, that was so beautiful. And I was just really impressed by Shia's performance.
Yeah, and I was too. He really
he really nailed it. It was just like, he's very heartwarming, and I don't know, he was just, I was so affected by him, by his performance.
That's good. Yeah. Because he's troubled as well. Yeah. And I think he finds, you know, he sees in Zach a kindred spirit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and you were saying about the cinematography, it kind of reminded me of home. I'm from Florida.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of
I know.
I felt a little homesick for the ocean, but it's beautifully shot. And there's just some moments where they're just literally just, you know, got their feet dangling in the water going down the river, you know, and they're not saying anything. And I thought it was just the poignancy of all of that. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so let's give our grades for it. Lupe?
A+.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, A. Yeah, A. All right, so we agree.
Yay.
Thank you guys for listening. We're going to, listening/watching, however you're checking out the show. We're going to go through and have our panelists say where you can find them again. Lupe?
All right, find me on Twitter at Cinemovie, on Instagram at CinemovieTV, same for Facebook, and follow me on the website, cinemovie.tv.
I'm Kit Bowen. You can follow me at The Movie Kit and on ScreenPicks.com. Yeah.
Jenna, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Jenna on Camera, and my website is jennaoncamera.com.
And I'm Ashley Menzel. You can find me at We Live Entertainment, and we're on Twitter at Ashley G. Menzel. Make sure you check out next week's episode, where we're going to be talking about Blinded by the Light, Good Boys, Where'd You Go, Bernadette, 47 Meters Down, Uncaged, and Angry Birds 2. Bye!
Bye!
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.